Well, today we're into week 5 of the Lord's Prayer, and what I first thought would be kind of a quick cruise through the Lord's Prayer turned out to be a stroll, and then it turned out to be a crawl as we decided to spend time phrase by phrase walking through it. And I've appreciated that. I hope you have. Last week, Pastor Mike covered Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. And today, he and the youth are preparing us this day a meal for ourselves. And that's the spaghetti meal that Rachel advertised earlier on. And I thought that's just great. So the meal is free. There's a donation basket. And we invite you to come and support our youth ministry. And then if you want a dessert, bid on a dessert. That would be just awesome. But I think we have the Lord's Prayer behind us. Let's say it and pray it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our into temptation as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. A bishop who lived probably a century ago pronounced from his pulpit and in the magazine in which he was the editor that heavier-than-air flight was both impossible and contrary to the will of God. So that was before airplanes. He says it's impossible and contrary to the will of God. Oh, the irony that Bishop Wright had two sons. Their names? Orville and Wilbur. Well, Bishop Wright was actually wrong. He was sure of himself, but he was wrong, and his sons were right. So when we think about God's will, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, can you know God's will? How do you know God's will? And what is God's will? One writer said, doing God's will and glorifying him is the most important activity in all the world. Doing God's will is the gigantic theme which should dominate the lives of God's children, as we see evidenced in the prayer that Jesus taught his followers. When we pray, your will be done, let me first ask the question, who? Who should be the ones doing God's will? And he did. It starts with Jesus. Jesus said, and he did, God's will. I think that's why he put it at the heart and center of this prayer. Take a look at the life of Jesus. What did he come to do? The will of God. Why had he, the Son of God, set foot on stage of a sinful world to do the will of God? Why did he, born as a helpless baby, grown up as a man, likely worked as a carpenter, traveled around the Middle East on foot, and then he gave up his life on the cross to be buried in a grave, to rise again, and then ascend back into heaven? Why did he do all that? All of that was to do the will of his Father. He said it like this in John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. There is nothing more important to Jesus than to see this happen. He wants to see people in heaven for eternity. He wants to see you in heaven for eternity. He wants to see your loved ones that you care about and praying about in eternity. Again, a reminder, we have our prayer jar here. Many of you have come and written first names of people you love and care about. Place them in the... This is what Jesus... for them throughout the week, and I trust you're praying for them too, because this is what Jesus came to do, to bring people to heaven. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he faced that gruesome decision of going to the cross, that soul-wrenching decision was resolved with these words, Father, if you are willing, take this cup of suffering, take this cup of death from me. And we all know the words, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus did the will of his Father. Our will also is to submit to the will of the Father. This morning I want to look at three perspectives of God's will as we look at Matthew chapter 6. That phrase, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first one I want to look at is God's obvious will. How do you know God's will? There are some things that are completely obvious, and I'm going to just walk through a number of those this morning. By no means a complete list. So to make the subject of God, our Father's will, as simple as it can be, we need to understand what it is. What is God's will? Well, it is what he plans and purposes and wants to be done. So through his written word, we can find clearly what he wills and wants for our lives. Will my God. The writer in Psalms, David, in Psalm 40, verse 8, said this, I delight to do your will, my God, and your instruction is deep within me. The words of instruction that God had given are deep within David, and they are to be deep within us. So my question as we think about God's obvious will, is his word a priority in your life, as we heard earlier this morning? If we're going to know the will of God in our everyday lives, we have to be into this book. We have to be allowing it, that instruction to be deep within us, because it's through his word that his will is revealed. Ephesians 1 says, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. You see, Jesus came to do his Father's will, and his Father's will was to bring everything to completion in his Son, in Jesus. Everything would be brought to completion in him, in fulfillment in him. So what are some of the obvious parts of God's will? I'm going to walk you through some of those. Number one is to know him and love him. Do you know him and do you love him? Jesus said this in John 17, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. This is what I came for. Glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. So Jesus says, this is what I came for, so that they might know you. And it's through the work that God you've given me to do, you can know him. So this is why we were put on this planet, to know him. To know him personally. If you know him, then you're created to love him. Which takes us to the greatest commandment. This is the first and greatest commandment, Jesus said, and the second is like it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. God created you to love you. You see, he didn't need human beings in order to fill some empty void in himself. God was completely fulfilled and complete in himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But he chose out of his goodness, he chose out of his love to create us, and he chose to create you to love you. And in turn, he desires for you to love him back, which will then fill the empty void in you. He's created you with an emptiness only to be filled by knowing him and loving him. Secondly, God's will is that we would live in a way that it brought back from the writer to Hebrews said, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And what is his will? And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Your life and my life is created, we're designed, we're shaped, we're placed here to please God, to honor him, to worship him, to live our lives in such a way that cause him to smile. And Jesus said in Luke 9:23, how we do that is we come to him and we deny ourselves. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So when I pray, Jesus, God, your will be done, I say, my will has got to go. My will has got to go. God, your will. To live in a way pleasing to him. Thirdly, to have joy, to pray, to have a thankful heart. Paul said in Thessalonians, be joyful always, pray continuously. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. You're thinking, how do I have joy right now when I'm going through suffering, when I'm going through opposition? Well, James, the writer, the brother of Jesus, said, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Sudden be a way to have joy in the midst of trials. There must be a way to have joy in the midst of sudden loss when you lose someone you love. Well, we know that joy isn't happy feelings. Joy is not the absence of sorrow. What is joy? Joy is the presence of Christ. So when you receive Christ as your Savior, he comes and he lives inside of you by his Holy Spirit. And the joy of the Lord becomes your strength to walk you through the deepest trials. And so Paul says, this is God's will for you, to be joyful always, in good times and in hard times, to pray continually, to develop patterns and habits. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the hardest work you will ever accomplish as a Christian following Christ is the hard work of continuous prayer, of being devoted in prayer, intercessory prayer, prayer of worship, prayer of confession, prayer of surrender. That is the hardest work you will ever do. And to have a thankful heart. Oh, let's be thankful. Number four, healthy families. This is God's will. We look around us and we see brokenness. If you've been watching the news, you see the recent study that's been, I think it's concluded, about the murdered and missing indigenous families have been broken. Study. Tragic, tragic story in our nation over the last number of decades. Families have been broken. Families have experienced tragedy and loss so many ways. Well, what is God's plan for the family? We studied it in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 when we walked through Ephesians this last winter. So it's for parents to love their children, for children to obey your parents, for husband and wives to love each other, husbands to lay down your lives for your wife, wives to respect your husband and lift him up to lead your family spiritually, children to honor your parents lifelong. That'll change over time. Right now, kids, when you're young, the Bible says obey your parents and listen. As you get older, your role changes. My role as a child has changed. I'm, in a sense, caring and leading my mother, at the same time honoring her and respecting her and lifting her up. Oh, God desires healthy families. He desires parents, husbands and wives, to honor their marriage vows in such a way that that is the most important task every day that they have. And then the next task, well, the most important task is to love God and to love your husband, love your wife, and then to love your kids in that order. The fifth, Peter wrote, the Lord is part that is God's will is to share Christ. Second Peter wrote, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Paul said to Timothy, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So we see the intent that God has for all humankind. Now we know that people make choices. God has given us a free will. While he has a sovereign order in his will that he desires to have happen, he's given us a free will that we can choose. In Luke, Jesus talks about the narrow gate and the wide gate. He says, enter through the narrow gate. Because the wide gate, that one leads to destruction. Many people are on that road. The narrow gate leads to eternal life, leads to hope, leads to forgiveness, leads to freedom. Luke, in the book of Acts, recorded Jesus' words when he said, but you will receive the Holy Spirit power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God's will is that we share him so that people can know him, so that people can come to an understanding that their sin stands between them and God, and you need to share between God and man. That's Jesus. If you love him, if you know him, you need to share him. Number six, to be sanctified. Paul said in Thessalonians, it is God's will. So this, you can't get it more clear than this. What is God's will for your life? This is it. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Then he goes on. Before we go on, what does the word sanctification mean? It means to be set apart for God's purposes. It means to be set apart for holy purposes. And so God, when he calls you into his family, he says, I'm setting you apart now for a purpose that is far beyond anything that you can ever imagine. And it's for an eternal purpose. Then he goes on to say what that means in this context, that you should avoid sexual immorality. that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. So loving God means to honor him with our bodies that he's created. He created us male, female. He's created us to honor the gift of sexuality, to save that for marriage, to keep it for marriage. That is God's will. Then he says his will is to build his church. In Matthew chapter 16, God says, I will build my church against it. Nothing that can stop, not even the gates of hell, shall prevail against it. So over the centuries since Jesus was here, over 2,000 years, the church has been building. Oh, in so many different ways. As we speak, as we sit here in complete freedom, there's congregations on the other side of the world, mostly in the 1040 window, which is that Middle East and Asia part of the world. A number of those countries are closed to missionaries. So where there are believers, how do they meet? They meet silently. They meet quietly. They meet conspicuously in homes, in basements, in back rooms in businesses because it's illegal or they're afraid. So Christianity may have lost its... I was reading an article by the Focus on the Family entitled God Builds His Church as He Sees Fit. This is what it said. Christianity may have lost its culturally privileged status in the West. That's us. We live in the West. North America, Western Europe. We have become secularized post-Christian societies. But this hardly reflects the state of the church and its outreach in other parts of the world. For decades, the gospel has been spreading and Christianity growing in quantum leaps in Asia, Africa, and South America. God continues to call people from all nations, tribes, and languages as he has church. And from time to time, he shifts the center of the church's gravity, as he has evidently been doing that from Western to non-Western lands. God is sovereign over history as he is over his church. Nothing that happens ever surprises God. In fact, he has ordained it all for his own glory and for the good of his people. For example, God raises up civilizations and then allows them to be taken down. He gives his people favor in certain times and seasons and civilizations. Gives his people favor in the influence in the eyes of the culture, and then he removes that influence and that favor. And that is all part of God's building his church. I don't fully understand that. So when the persecution broke out in Jerusalem, in the early church, everybody shifted out. And the church was birthed in that Asia Minor area where we read many of the books that Paul wrote to. Well, guess what happened in the 6th and 7th century and 8th and 9th? Islam came in and the whole church was shifted again to Western Europe. And you see that God was building his church all through there. And through it all, he's building his kingdom, and quite often in ways that we would not expect or understand or really know about until it's positive change, until we see the patterns. So at times, he gives the church a loud voice that creates positive change, leading the way to peace and justice, flourishing. Other times, he reduces the voice of his church to a quiet whisper, speaking truth to powers that actually hate the church and reject the church. Well, as a church in the Battlefords, we understand the priorities that we have, and I think we have our value statement on our screen. Our purpose is to enable people to experience a growing relationship with Jesus Christ through three values: having a deep passion for Jesus Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to live and bear fruit from our lives. Authentic community, growing together in our small groups and our relationships and being open with our lives, being honest, being true, confessing our faults to one another. And then relational outreach, where we intentionally choose to share Christ with those around us and invite people to church and pray for people. Well, these values cover everything we do. And for many years, we've been convinced that and are still convinced, and will always be convinced, that a strong children's and youth ministry is vital to Territorial Drive Alliance Church and to what we're called to in the Battlefords. We have a strong value to be engaged. We're a community in our city and in our town of Battleford in ways that we're serving in our community. We're giving back in our community. We're not huddling in the northeast corner of North Battleford. And it became evident to our leaders at Territorial Drive Lions Church a number of years ago that our proximity in Saskatchewan, in northwestern Saskatchewan, is a loud and clear calling to us. And that proximity is because we are, in a sense, centered in the middle of 6 or 7 First Nations reservations. And that meant that we would be called to something. What would we be called to? And that calling became more evident over the recent 13 years and even more evident over the last 5.5 years when Pastor Tyrone and Ginger Bird felt burdened by God to plant a church to reach the people on Moosomin First Nation. We intentionally stepped in to support them in their passion to reach their own people. Many of you have been involved in events on the reserve, have connected with Tyrone and Ginger at different occasions and have been there walking with them hand in hand as we see the kingdom of God advance on Moosomin Reserve and other reserves. Our denomination has a priority that we are putting our efforts into our least reached places in Canada. So in our context, this would be our least reached places. To my understanding, there's very few churches in those 7 reserves in our area that are ongoing, sustainable churches, gatherings of believers. You see, God is building his church, and building a church is never easy. Putting up a structure is easy. You can use hammer and nails and screws and wood and shingles. That part's easy. Building a church is never easy. And those of you who got involved, are involved with Pastor Tyrone and Ginger, you realize that. And as you got closer and closer into First Nations ministry and you heard the stories that Tyrone and Ginger would be sharing about the people they're connecting with and working with. And we knew that even to a greater extent when we hired Pastor Tyrone in September of 2018, as he felt called to dedicate himself fully to planting churches in this area and growing the ministry at Moosomin. But all along the way, those of you who've been involved, those of us who've been involved, saw the spiritual strongholds that are resident on our First Nations reserves. See the challenge of addictions, family struggles, abuse, crime, violence, suicide, economic despair. And those are just some of the challenges in which to build a church. Ron and Ginger have a First Nations context. So for 5.5 years, Pastor Tyrone and Ginger have faithfully served, continue to serve. In recent months, though, we realized that the load of ministry was taking its toll on Pastor Tyrone and Ginger. They've been on the front lines. They live on the front lines. And this is the couple that we love. And so it became evident to our leadership here at Territorial Drive Alliance Church and our leadership team of the Moosomin Church that we needed to provide some significant support to them as a couple as they've been carrying a heavy load of ministry. Encouragement, support, renewal, counsel. And so we sought advice from our denominational leaders, and we did some research on where would be the best place to send Tyrone and Ginger outside of our community so that they could receive some rejuvenation and support and healing from how they minister on a regular basis and in their own lives. If you've heard both Pastor Tyrone and Ginger's story, you know the brokenness from which they came and the healing of which God has done to a certain degree but needs to continue to happen. Well, lately I've been receiving questions, and maybe you have too, the questions are, where is Tyrone? We haven't seen him for a while. And he's the kind of guy that he's hard to miss and he's hard to lose. I'll tell you where he is. And the way I'm going to tell you is we actually asked Tyrone and Ginger to write a letter to us. And I'm going to share it here and then at Moosomin First Nation Church this afternoon. So here it is, dated May 30th, 2019. Dear Moosomin Native Fellowship and Territorial Drive Alliance Church, hello, hope all is well over there on the north side of the border. So they're down in the States, early hint. Ginger and I have been away for approximately a month. For some time, I've been dealing with significant emotional and spiritual challenges, which prompted myself and Ginger being referred to Link Care Center. That's the place that we researched and found that could offer excellent support to them. I have been diagnosed with depression, and I've personally been dealing with thoughts about whether life was worth living. And you know Tyrone's story. You know how he's helped many others through suicide. Well, he himself has hit that depression. This may be a shock to some people, and for that I'm sorry. I have informed the leadership and close family of my illness, of my situation. We are currently going through some of the best counseling in the world down in Fresno, California. I can't tell you the amount of stress and trauma that we've been dealing with. And years ago has left me with severe post-traumatic stress disorder, and to this point has been pretty much impossible for me to fully get over. This last year was the tipping point that sent me into a downward spiral, yet we are making progress. My counselor is saying that we are making huge strides in dealing with past trauma, and many effects will be dealt with by the time I return home. Upon arriving here, down at Link Care, we felt little hope, and almost in the last month of being here, the clouds are starting to break and the hope is starting to return. When we were traveling down here, this is a month ago now, we hit a cow on Interstate 15 near Tremonton, Utah. Our car was totaled, and we had headaches and soreness because of the car crash. Ginger, this weekend, is getting good old Canadian health care, and for that, we are grateful. Ginger made a quick trip back here and is now heading back down to the States. Ginger has been going through her own storms, and she is currently getting the help she needs down here as well. She sends her love and greetings at this time. At this time, she also expresses that this has been extremely helpful in releasing old junk, and this is a time where God can do new things. First Nations ministry has been more traumatic than we could ever thought or imagined. Many times, ministry ended up turning into 24 hours a day, many of the time, 5 days a year, that kind of a demand. The needs ended up being great, and many of the time, Ginger and I carried the weight of ministry without fully knowing how to release it to the Lord, release that weight over to the Lord. Many times, because of ministry, we ended up being first responders to many traumatic events. We can't express how grateful we are to the Lord for your love and support. Thank you for allowing us this time to recover and get the help we so needed. Love, Pastor Tyrone and Ginger Bird. So Link Care is set up in such a way that their counselors communicate with the ministry supervisor. So I've had numerous phone calls with their counselors down there. They are walking Tyrone and Ginger through many things that come from their past and their present, the ministry that they've been sharing and carrying. And their counselors are telling me, this is an amazing couple. They love them dearly, and they see the incredible gift and calling God has placed on their lives. And so this is a season to help renew and restore and to heal and equip for the future. So the Link Care time will keep them down there till I believe it's July 5th. There was an initial month, and then we extended it to another month at the cost involved in this. If you would be interested in helping support that, there's a cost involved in this, obviously. We would encourage you to give through our church to TDAC, and you can make a designation to First Nations Missions, and that will go directly to supporting the ministry of Tyrone and Ginger currently in this season and, of course, future. But when Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, I believe there are seasons in our history and places where I think all the forces of darkness get thrown at a church or a group of churches. And in our denomination, I hear this from our denominational leaders in the Alliance, we are far from where we want to be or feel called to be to reach our First Nations communities for Jesus. We have so much yet to learn and so much yet to walk with our brothers and sisters. Now, one could say, well, sometimes building a church is just too hard. Sometimes it's just so hard. But we would say, when Jesus went to the cross, was it worth giving up his life? Oh, it is. It was. So building the church is worth a few minutes to talk about. So that's God's obvious will. And I just want to take a few minutes to talk about two other quick parts of God's will. Again, I would encourage you just to soak yourself in God's word if you're seeking to understand why are you on this planet. God's will is obvious. And I've just given you a number of those ways. I want to talk about God's permissive will. And so there's a difference between God's order, one writer said, and God's permissive will. For example, any expectant parent who's waiting for their child to be born would pray for a healthy child. We did that with all of our kids. And when that child is born, and that child is healthy, they rejoice and they say, Lord, thank you for answering our prayers. Some parents, when that child is born, receive a child that came into the world with lifetime disabilities, with maybe the inability to see, or talk, or walk, or feed themselves, and throughout their lifetime would need numerous surgeries. And so do we say, God, did you fail to answer that prayer for a healthy child? And we would say, oh no, God chose, God shaped that child, God wove that child together in that mother's womb to be created exactly as that child was made to be. Philip Yancey wrote a book, Pain, Use the Gift Nobody Wants. And he, throughout that book, uses example after example after example of, yes, in creation, in that Garden of Eden, everything was created perfect. But when sin came into the world, it stained and marred everything all the way until Christ is going to come back again. And so what we would hope for that was part of God's created order, health and life and fullness and longevity, sometimes is not that. And that's where God's permissive will comes in. And you can read scripture and see that over and over. The book of Job is a clear example. Job, a man who was righteous before God, and yet God allowed Satan himself to pour out an assault on Job and his family. And so Job's words, when all of that struck, and I had his words here, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Then he, later on, he said to his wife who was mocking him, he said, should we accept good from God and not trouble? So what is God's will when pain and hardship and suffering of many kinds. Remember what James said? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish his work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If you were to look back on the times where you grew the most, I look back on mine, and I know exactly when I grew the most. It's when I was going through the most painful, the most trials, and the losses that shook me to the core and caused me to cry out to God. Many of you have loved ones that you're praying for God to pour out his healing touch. I'm doing that for my sister, praying for God to restore her during the season of cancer in her life. And God does answer those prayers. He answers them either yes, and he heals, or wait, and person perseveres through the treatments and the trials, or no, and he receives that person to his glorious home. And so we live in the midst of the permissive will of God, which we don't understand, and we never have an answer for it. And let me give you a word of caution. Please never say that you know God's will when someone's going through suffering. Please never say that only God will do this, or will do that, or won't do this, or won't do that. Only God knows. We simply pray. We simply love. We simply walk with people. We simply are comforting arms. We're simply the hands and feet of Christ as we walk through and journey through the permissive will of God. And then finally is the discerned will of God. God's will can be discerned. those things that aren't spelled out specifically in the Bible, which college should I go to? What job should I take? Who should I marry? All those kind of things. They're not spelled out line by line in black and white. So we need to discern them. So Paul said, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve. Some translations say the word discern, what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And what does God want me to do? Well, we know that he's created us for a purpose. He's shaped us exactly the way he wants us. And Paul says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So how do we find out how to discern God's will, how to do these good works that God has for us? How do we read his book on the Lord's? Well, I want to give you a few guidelines from Philip Keller in his book on the Lord's Prayer. How do you discern God's will in practical steps of life? Because I don't know which way to go type thing. Number one, make the matter of earnest prayer. Simply ask God, God, show me the way. Number two, if it's definitely in agreement with God's obvious will expressed in his written word, if so, fine, go ahead and advance. If not, then don't do it and go back to the list that we went through before. Thirdly, if the decision is difficult and far beyond you, seek the wise and prayerful counsel of mature and godly believers who have the mind of Christ, who are intercessors, who pray, and they know how to discern God's will. They know how to ask good questions to you to help you discern your thoughts, to discern how God is leading you. Fourthly, have you ever faced a similar situation before? If so, what did God show you as his will then? And if you made a mistake then, don't repeat the same mistake. Fifthly, God has given us a whole fund of wholesome and practical knowledge which he expects us to use, and it's called common sense. We ignore it with risk. Number six, step out in faith. You may not know the full outcome of how God is calling you or the next steps, but God does. A story is told of a man by the name of Dwight Morrow and his wife were in a small town of Rugby, England. This is before GPS and phones and all that kind of stuff. They were wandering through the streets and they had lost their way. But an incident happened in Morrow's philosophy that became a guiding principle of his life. So while they were lost, they found a 12-year-old boy. They said, hello, young lad, could you help us to find the train station? Well, the boy answered, you turn right there and you go to the grocery store. You turn left there and then you go to where four roads converge together. And when you get there, hopefully there's a crowd of people because at that point you need to ask for further directions from there. And then you'll get to where you need to go. So sometimes you only see a certain way in front of you. And you have the knowledge or the leading or the calling or the common sense to take that step. And then the next step is revealed. And the next step is revealed. And then there's more counsel needed. And then there's more prayer needed. And that's somehow how God's will is revealed. As I seek to help my children understand God's will as theirs, I don't entering into adulthood and making those decisions. I don't know what it is, but I can help them and encourage them on one step, then the next step. Then there's a story of a lady told of an old Scottish woman who went from home to home years ago across the countryside in Scotland, selling thread and buttons and shoestrings. And when she came to an unmarked crossroad, she would bend down, find a stick, toss it in the air, and the stick would come down and land pointing in a certain direction, and she would go in that direction. And people would see her, and they would understand that's how she finds where she's going to go sell her wares. One day, however, she was seen at a crossroads, and she bent down, picked up a stick, and threw it up in the air. It came down, up in the air, and down several times. Someone finally said, "Why do you toss the stick up more than once?" "Because," replied the woman, "it keeps pointing to the left. and I want to take the road to the right. So she dutifully kept throwing up the stick till it went into the direction she wanted it to go. So that phrase that Jesus offered in that garden on that gut-wrenching night, "Not my will, God, but yours." Would that be your prayer? That God would reveal himself through to him and word, through circumstances as they unfold, as you yield to him and seek godly advice and pray and surrender your life to him. May the will of God be such that you would say, as the psalmist said in Psalm 40, "I delight to do your will, my God, and your instruction is deep within me." Let's pray. Father, I thank you that, you do have a plan for our lives. And there's likely some in this room who just don't understand it right now. And there's a blank sheet of paper, so to speak, in front of them. And they're wondering, which way do I go? How do I make this decision that's ahead of me? How do I walk through this valley? Lord, you promise to show us the way. Lord, your word says that you will direct our paths when we trust in you fully. So for those here this morning who are questioning what is the way, I'm just going to invite you in this moment, if you're needing direction, would you just slip up your hand and I can pray for you? If you're wondering, what is God's will now? I have a decision ahead of me. I don't know which way to go. Thank you. I'm seeking God, but I'm not getting any answers. Heaven seems silent. Oh, Lord, I commit these to you right now who are seeking you. Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself through your word. And I pray that you would reveal your plans and your way through the way you direct and lead us through circumstances, through wise voices, through common sense decisions, through the ways you've gifted us and shaped us and wired us and equipped us to be your workmanship on this planet. So show us, Lord, how to have that delight every day to wake up and say, "God, not my will, but yours. I surrender. What do you have for me today?" We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.